You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast here at William Hill, hosted by myself, Bobby Beavers. And for this edition of the podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Kevin O'Malley. Kevin, great to see you. I hope you're keeping well. And have you enjoyed York so far?
York is always a treat, Bobby. It's been a fabulous week so far. And a really good first day on the punting front. Thursday was a bit tricky, right in the middle of Friday as we go. So it's still all to play for.
Just before I get your thoughts and opinions on what we've seen on day three and also your selections ahead of racing on Saturday as well, let's relive the Nunthorpe of 2019.
They're off for the Coolmore Nunthorpe. 10 sovereigns had to be stoked away from the stall. Second from the left, purple and white jacket, as Ornate shows bright speed down the centre in the yellow silks to Soldier's Call. And then Copper Knight in the light blue, the white-faced El Astronauti, 10 sovereigns down the near side recovering. Batash on the far side in the raw blue, racing in touch, being followed by So Perfect with the white cap. Then the grey Garrison on the extreme left, a rumble in the jungle. Mavs Cross in the red jacket, a switch second from the right extreme. Right now is Fairyland, and they've gone past halfway, and Batash has swept to the frontier, storms into the lead now, passing the two. Soldier's Call is chasing, 10 sovereigns out in the centre, purple jacket, three lengths to make up, down to the last furlong. Batash has cleared away, three, four lengths ahead with a wind at his heels. Batash simply scorching the turf on the Knavesmire. It's going to be third time lucky as Batash takes the Coolmore Nunthorpe in devastating style. Soldier's Call is second, So Perfect ran through into third, close for fourth between Copper Knight and Mavs Cross.
So that was the Nunthorpe we saw today at York. Batash got the job done. What do you think of his performance? It was very impressive, to say the least.
He was awesome today, absolutely brilliant, and it's really great to see Batash get his day in the sun. Thoroughly deserved. As we know, he's come up short a couple of times in top Group 1 company, but we know that when he's at his absolute best, he's one of the finest sprinters ever produced on British soil. And he's a gelding, and he could get better as he gets older. Maybe not better, but certainly more consistent in his work, and looking ahead to races like the King's Stand next season. You know, there's nothing really there to come near him, and if he can maintain this consistency now, he could go on to have a fantastic 2020. You know, he'll probably go on to the pre-Labé now in Paris, and he'll be very difficult to beat there as well. So fantastic performance in the Nunthorpe, absolutely brilliant for Charlie Hills, who's done a fantastic job of training him as well.
And he wasn't the only star on show on Friday as well. A certain Stradivarius won the Lonsdale Cup for a second consecutive year, and he gets the £1 million bonus again.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a proper street fighting champion, this horse. He never wins by far, does he? But he certainly knows how to win this horse, and yeah, I mean, he's just absolutely fantastic. He's another one who's going to go on to British Champions Day at Ascot next, you'd imagine, to finish off his season. But yeah, he's a perfect stayer, isn't he? He does everything. He's got the class, he's got the stamina, he's got the attitude, he's got the right trainer, the right jockey. It's just a perfect storm with Stradivarius.
Certainly is indeed. Right then, Kev, looking ahead to the action on Saturday afternoon, where will be your two selections? Are you going to be at York, or are you going to go elsewhere?
I've got quite a few fancies tomorrow, so I could rattle off quite a few. But I suppose I quite fancy a big day for the King Power setup in the Strensel Stakes, the 150. I quite like the chances of Bangkok, as Japan proves early in the week, with a real grown-up performance in the Judmont International. I just think we're coming to a stage of the season where the three-year-olds are starting to mature and starting to improve at just the right time. So I think they'll start picking up some good pots. In Bangkok, he's got Wissahickon and Zaki to take on here, who are older horses, and they're obviously quality acts in their own right. But Bangkok gets £7 from both of them, you know, and he's going to be a very dangerous horse, I feel, here. He gets £7 there. I think the drop back in trip to 9 furlongs will really suit him. The race didn't work out for him behind Ellercam last time out. I think he's a much better horse than that. Earlier on in the season, he was beating the likes of Telecaster and Technician, and that form has worked out really nicely. And as I say, Bangkok is a really lovely individual, and I think tomorrow's race is going to really suit, and that weight allowance that he gets from the two favourites will bring him right into the equation. So Bangkok would certainly be my best bet, I think, on Saturday at York.
So would that be the nap of the knaves, should we say?
Yeah, I'd certainly put him in as my best bet, and maybe second in. I might be just be could accuse me of being a bit lazy here doing this, the two King Power horses, but I do fancy both of them. The other one is the City of York Stakes, Shine So Bright. We've obviously got Lawrens in the field, very, very popular mare, and rightly so. But I do feel that Shine So Bright, again, he's getting lots and lots of weight here, you know. He's getting £7 from Lawrens, and he's getting £5 from the older boys. Shine So Bright, he was last seen, finished, he didn't quite get home in the 1,000 guineas. We haven't seen him since. But again, you know, in the interim period, he's going to have had time to strengthen up and mature and Shine So Bright. And I think tomorrow's race is going to be absolutely perfect for him. So, yeah, he'd be just about my next best at York on Saturday. We could mention other races if you want. We've got the £1 million Ebor as well, which is obviously an absolutely fantastic race. Have you had a look at the Ebor? You fancy much in it? Not really.
Hey, I've had a good look. The two against the fit. I'm quite like the fact that you're giving me opportunity
we could keep rattling. I could keep talking to you all day about racing, Bobby.
The two I like in the Ebor then for me, one is King's Advice, the Mark Johnson winner, who I believe I think he's 8 from 9 if I've got that right, since joining Mark Johnson. I think his only defeat was that in the Northumberland Plate behind Who Dares Wins, I think it was.
Yeah,
wasn't
he's,
it
he's very prolific, isn't he? I can see why you like King's Advice. What was the other one, in the
Raheen House? So I've got a massive soft spot for this horse.
He seems like he's been laid out for the race, doesn't he?
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's a great way of describing it. But the reason why with Raheen House as well is because when he was trained at Manton by Brian Meehan, I actually went to his stable to do a feature for Doncaster Racecourse when he won the Bahrain Trophy in his 3-year-old career. And he was like the lively outsider, wasn't he? Like a good each way shout for the Ledger that year. And yeah, we went to Manton. We saw Raheen House. I've always had a massive soft spot for him ever since. So I'd like to see him in a big race as well.
Yeah, with two very strong chances there. I've had a few little nibbles in the race. I backed Ben Vracky at double figure prices a few weeks ago for this race, and I still maintain that Son of Frankel's got a big chance in the race for John Gosden, who won the race last year. Another one that I've backed at around about 20, 25 to 1, somewhere around that mark, he could be a bit short to Whit Hills, I'm not sure, is Raymond Tusk for Richard Hannan. This horse was last seen running in the Ascot Gold Cup. Raymond Tusk, there's been no hiding places for this horse. He's been behind the likes of DXB and running against good horses all season. He dips back into handicap company here, Raymond Tusk, under Jamie Spencer. He's now a regular partner, and I could see him running a big race. Just another couple to mention who I like. Kelly's Dino, he's a very honest, solid galloper, stays very well. I could see him running a big race. And also Barsanti, who's a perpetual loser of horse races. He's been very, very frustrating in the past, Barsanti, but equally he has an awful lot of back class too. He does have a good record at York Barsanti, and again, you know, dipping back into handicap company in a race as open as this one, at quite big odds, Barsanti, I could see him running a big race. So four to mention really there, along with Bobby's two. So we've given you six options for the Ebor.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. Six options, plenty going to post as well. Plenty of each way value along the way too. Kev, as always, a pleasure to work with you here on the podcast.
Thank you, Bobby. Cheers, mate.
Tune into William Hill Racing Radio. It's live from 12:40 p.m. So an early start for us. 12:40 p.m. is the start time. It's James Millman, Paddy Aspall and John Budden taking you through the afternoon and the evening racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.